All right, let's start this thing up. So welcome to the Evoke Bike Podcast. This is Bike Radio with Landry Bobo, and I'm Brendan Hausler. And Landry sent me a bunch of different topics, and the one that really stuck out to me was talking about when athletes say the workouts aren't hard enough. And he had pointed out some things in his email of, you know, how everything fits together. And we're training three big components a lot of the time: VO2 max, lactate clearance capabilities, economy and efficiency. But sometimes athletes see certain workouts as being easy and don't see how that fits into the whole picture. I can think of an example that I just had in my head, but Landry, what kind of brought this up in your mind? Were there athletes that you were dealing with that go too hard too often? Was it people not being able to see the big picture and you had to kind of reframe things for them? Or what was sort of sparked this?
Yeah, I think in particular, one example I had was I had a guy who reached out to me about coaching in December, and then he got COVID and he wasn't able to start training until like February. And he had these races he wanted to do in the spring. So he was like, you know, I just want to jump right back into it. I got to build fitness. And it's like, he'd barely ridden in like 2 months and we had to start slower than what he wanted. And so the first 2 months, really, we weren't doing any crazy high intensity. We were doing a lot of gym stuff. I like a lot of like strength and torque intervals and sprints and stuff. And he was always saying like, you know, like these don't feel hard enough. They don't feel like they're doing much. And I just had to keep reminding him of the bigger picture that, you know, we're working on that efficiency and your economy and that, like, in your base fitness, and that when we do begin that high intensity, that you're going to have a higher peak because you're going to be more efficient and you're going to be able to like take your VO2 max further by becoming a more efficient bike rider. It's not just about how many watts you can do, but also how you produce that. And I think in my experience, if people really just start with kind of the basic abilities and gradually build up, they end up having a much higher peak. Sure. And when you do start doing the high intensity, if you have taken the time to build a good base, like those gains come so fast. And, you know, for me, from like a mental standpoint, I don't want to start athletes on like really hard workouts before we have to, because they're really mentally taxing. So I don't want to have an athlete doing VO2 max in December if we don't need to be doing it, if we can, you know, achieve the same outcome by doing something less mentally taxing. You know, I would prefer to do that because it's not just about managing your physical fitness, but also the mental aspect if you're going to train the whole year and race the whole year. Mm-hmm. So,
and when you say whole year, to clarify for people, meaning like sprint in North America, like March-ish till Labor Day, September-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so people don't think all year, like, oh, I'm doing 12 months of racing. I mean, I had even mentioned, I think that we underestimate the mental cost or toll that even getting ready for a race. I did a couple like training races in late January, early February, which far from any race that I cared about, but I was like, oh, I'm in Florida, I'm going to go do this race. Wouldn't do those again. It's just the aspect of thinking about the race that week, packing up the car that day, driving to a race, doing the race, riding a little bit after. It just kind of shook up my like base miles routine. And I'll post in the notes here the blog that we have about what is base miles and the video that we did of like, why do you want to do that? You know, everyone thinks, oh, it's just like easy miles and I'm building a foundation. But if you look into what it's actually doing to your mitochondrial density, what it's doing for the capillarization, so you have more oxygenated blood getting into your muscles easier. There's a lot of reasons why the base miles is so good for this aerobic sport that we all love in cycling. With that athlete, did you have to shift his expectations for spring and say, you know, let's scratch these spring goals, or did he still go and race, or how did that play out with such a short amount of time and not doing intensity, but doing the base and the strength.
Yeah, it was actually amazing. I mean, he was starting from such a low level of fitness in February that we kind of just said, like, okay, let's just focus on getting you as strong as possible. Let's not worry about racing right now. And we kind of set a target of end of April. Like, you know, maybe if you're feeling good, we can go and do this race and kind of test things out and see how things go, but no pressure. And it turns out it was a road race and a crit. He ended up getting second out one of them and then winning the other one. We did maybe 2 weeks of high intensity, and he was already, he was a really gifted sprinter. And so just by the races were pretty flat. So just by kind of getting that aerobic engine to where it needed to be, he was able to do pretty well. But, you know, just making sure he was aware of, like, even just telling him, like, you're going to start to feel, like, as we're working on these things, you're going to start to feel really efficient and you're going to feel, like, really powerful. And we're going to, like, build all that up and then we're going to unleash it when we start doing the high intensity. He just saw a huge jump in fitness just in a really short amount of time. So, you know, just being patient and you're working on those basic things that we talk about, but not even just during base season, but just, you know, in general, as you were talking about with high intensity, like VO2 max, we talk about this a lot, but, or even lactate threshold, you know, the more power you can generate aerobically, the higher your FTP or VO2 max is going to be, because, you know, when you're able to generate power aerobically, you're not going to build up, you're not going to have to recruit that glycolytic system as quickly. And so you're not going to be having that same buildup of lactate. And even when you do start to have that buildup of lactate, you're going to be able to clear it faster because lactate is recycled by the aerobic system. And so, you know, one of the most effective ways to build that mitochondrial density is through base miles. That's actually the best way to do it. Just taking a look at, you can't take everything at face value. You know, these all play a part, and it's, it's not just the hard workouts that matter.
Oh, 100%. I had an athlete who just recently said to me, I'm trying to think how we got on this topic, but he's a new athlete with me, and he had gotten in a rut through another thing of doing too much like medium work. I'm not even going to say the word, but it was not really stressing everything hard enough. And he said, I didn't feel that there was much accomplishment from some of these workouts. And then even if I went and he went and did a week of endurance riding, and he said, that's nothing to pat myself on the back for. And I said, well, actually, man, you're so new that you should feel great after finishing a 2 or 3 hour endurance ride, because right now, if we get you to do 400 hours in a year, that alone is going to make you a faster cyclist. Right. And if you can do it with the smallest fatigue cost, riding at endurance and really starting to build and grow as an endurance athlete, that's going to allow you to do 450 hours. And then maybe you decide you want to be able to do 500 hours. And I said, you know, people that start getting serious and, you know, 600 hours is a lot of training, but when people mail in the endurance ride, when the endurance ride is what's creating all of the capabilities of doing the really hard rides. And I think the way you had said it, you had built up with this guy huge aerobic capacity and then unleashed the hard efforts. You know, I often think that I've said this and other coaches say this of, well, you don't need that much high intensity and it just like clicks. But I think it's missing only if you have this huge base. And that's the missing piece that people say, oh, well, I only have to do some high intensity. And then it's right. Like, I'm ripping. It's like, well, if you've built up this huge aerobic foundation, because those 2, 3, 4 minute efforts have a massive aerobic component to it. And we think because our eyes are popping out of our skull, it's, I got to go hard to be able to go hard. No, you got to go endurance-y to go really hard. So yeah, the long endurance rides are amazing for that. and it all just ties together. It's
Yeah, I actually have a blog post that's going to go up on Training Peaks in July about that, but just how a lot of people, we can actually make a separate podcast about that, but just to touch on that is a lot of people think that the best way to progress their training is by doing more intensity. So, you know, it's like, oh, I've been doing 3x10 minute FTP. Now I'm going to do 3x15 FTP and now 3x20 minute FTP. And, you know, I was just talking about how you're going to reach a point pretty quickly where you're not going to see any extra benefit from doing more intensity. And that actually the best way to really progress yourself as an athlete is to do more volume. And, you know, unfortunately for those who are really crunched for time, that's just the reality of it. And I talk about how, you know, professional riders, they're not doing much, if any, more high intensity in training than the amateurs, sometimes even less. The difference is their volume. And, you know, you might say, oh, well, they're racing 80 days a year, which is true. But we've also seen this shift towards athletes doing a lot less racing and more training camps. And then they'll just come into these races just tearing it up. You won't see Pogacar race for like 2 months and they just go to these training camps and they find that that actually works a lot better. But, you know, when I stalk guys, when I stalk pros on Strava, they're doing these 3 week training camps. They're not doing much intensity at all. And then they show up to these races and they're just flying.
How many hours are they doing at these camps? Like a week?
You know, usually the ones that I've seen that they do in the build up to the tour, like in May, I've seen, you know, 25 to 30 hours a week. So it's a lot, but it's, the other thing is when they are doing endurance rides, it's at a very, very low intensity, like 60% of FTP or even lower than that, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it's just mild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely ride easy. That's what everybody, Tom had told me that. I mean, even talking to like Alex, he, you know, is around a lot more Euro pros and Andy, and it's just, he, you know, rides with guys and they're like, dude, slow down. Go easier and just pedaling, turning it over. I would, yeah, that would be such a cool experience to go live as a follow along a pro team from October to February and just see what the training is like day in and day out and see how you feel. And I think it's definitely the Americana style is more harder. I think everybody, myself included, prior, I've gotten farther away from doing hard efforts and too many hard efforts, I should say. And I think it is interesting when progression becomes almost, we allow progression to become the only metric that we're gauging our success or progression as an athlete on, whereas there's no way to measure, okay, how often, how much can you ride at 100%, but then how many like final 3, 4, 5 minute efforts can you do? You know, where's your depth? Where's your repeatability? And I mean, we've talked about this a million times, but it's just so true in that Larry Warbass said on the podcast, like, you know, my FTP hasn't changed in how many years, but I'm definitely getting stronger as a rider. And it's just hard to quantify that, which I think is hard for some athletes until they're going down their fifth, sixth, seventh year of riding and being able to look back and be like, okay, yeah, maybe my FTP hasn't changed, but I can definitely ride a VO2 max longer. I can definitely punch it hard for 40 seconds at the end of a race, way higher than I could 3 years ago. But, you know, we all like the numbers. And when we can't point to the numbers directly, it can be hard to see progress. Yeah, can make it tough.
Yeah, totally. I think it's so easy to look at the numbers, but you also got to pay attention to how things feel too. Like you can also just feel the improvement when you do something. I know my first couple years of riding, I would really struggle to repeat interval efforts if I went out and did a VO2 max workout or something. You know, first one would be really good, be within the zone. Second one would be okay, but then it would just fall off. And, you know, now you can just go again and again and again. And that, I mean, that's super important for races that people don't even think about, or just my endurance. I mean, that's huge. I used to be really tired at the end of a 3-hour ride, and now that's like easy. So
I remember, and I actually think it was all the way into Memphis in like 26. No, maybe it was somewhere in Nashville, but that's really when I started. 5x5s had always been my favorite thing. Always my like good litmus test. Always felt like, you know, you come into the season, it's like, whoa, this is really hard. Just like you said, two, good. Third, eh. Fourth, you're kind of lying to yourself that it went okay. And fifth was just like a dumpster fire. And I remember getting better at those and just thinking of how much, you know, there's definitely a mental component to it, but also the pacing. And it really taught myself how to not go too hard early in a bike race, because, you know, I've talked about this example before, but I think it's a really good one. I went out with a group of guys in Nashville one day, six guys, all dudes who could win a pretty good Cat One road race. And I like riding consistently. And so I'm like, you know, not pulling the group, but I'm on the pedals, on the gas most of the time. And we were hitting these like 3, maybe 2 to 4 or 5 minute KOMs. I didn't get any one day. And Patrick said to me, he's like, dude, you're pulling way too much. You're working way too much. I'm like, dude, I'm just riding like endurance tempo. He's like, yeah, but everyone's coasting behind you. And then we smash the hill. And I honestly, I mean, where I lived before, I was able to do that. And the guys I was, that just were, I could ride with, I was stronger then. So it did, there was no penalty to that. And so I'm like, does it really make that much difference? So the next time we rode, I, you know, let other people pull, I pace lined, I like conserved. And I think I took two of the KOMs and I was like, holy crap, I can't beat these dudes. And it really made me start thinking how to apply that to intervals, where sometimes after the first one, you go a little bit too hard because you're feeling like Superman. And then that totally sours the whole set, or you're not really trying to focus on recovering as fast as possible between the intervals. And sure, maybe you get away with that with the second one, but by the fourth one, you're feeling that. And so I think really focusing on the execution of the set, I don't know, it's just getting that win and then being able to apply that to racing and remind yourself to be patient. Don't go out and be Superman for the first hour, because someone's gonna, you know, there's gonna be a lot of people way stronger at the end. And yeah, this is a good lesson learned.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
What else are you thinking on this one? Should we do a different topic, or do you have any more about people thinking like, I think also the last thing, workouts not feeling hard enough. It goes without saying, there's always the person that wants to go really hard all the time. And if you're maybe new to training, that is definitely not the way to get faster. From a physiological standpoint, you're just working, you're basically trying to become not aerobic. You're working the glycolytic system way too often. You're doing hard efforts when you're not fresh enough to do hard efforts. So you're not getting the stimulus that's actually going to make you faster. You're just getting tired. There's a myriad of reasons, but I think those are the two glaring ones. So if you're feeling like things aren't hard enough, you really only need that super hard a couple times a week. And that includes a race. A race is one of those days. So aside from that, any other topics you wanted to, or any bullet points on that topic you wanted to hit?
Just
you're laughing.
Well, just like to my athletes, whenever we spend the first like 3 months doing easy riding, just remember it's gonna get really hard. Because I've had many guys just be like, you know, these workouts aren't hard enough, and it's like, and then you start giving them the hard workouts in February and they're just complaining about how hard they are.
That's the best. I always take it as a compliment when a guy said to me, he's like, man, when you make me go hard, I've never had to go that hard, but when you tell me not to go hard, god, this is so easy. And I'm just like, man, it's endurance riding. This is what's gonna let you crush. And the thing that sucks is endurance riding takes some time to take effect. I had a guy who, he unfortunately had an injury very recently, and he came to me, he's a good racer, he's a Cat One, did a lot of crits last year, so volume was low. He's in like his fourth year of training. Still very, very new. I should look up how many total miles he's ridden for perspective, but I want to say, I would bet it's less than 40,000. And he said, so if I do these 20-hour weeks, I hear about, is that going to make me faster? And I was like, well, it's November. We're starting to race in April. I mean, yeah, the volume's good, but I'm not going to tell you it's going to turn you into Superman, but more is better. The right amount for you is how much can you handle around work, life, stress balance. Let's see how you respond to, because he was doing maybe 15 hours before. So I'm like, we're not just going to do 20, 20, 20 every week, but like, yeah, 20-hour week, everyone's all be great. And I said, the bigger picture though is the 20-hour weeks now, will I do more 20-hour weeks later if you decide? And this, you're still so young in training, like you should be looking at that volume for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And he said, well, I might be only in this for like a year or two. I was like, oh, well, okay. So no, I'm not going to lie to you. If you like, is there going to be a massive difference in 180 days between you doing 15 hours and 20 hours? Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to say. But it depends on how long you want to be an aerobic endurance type athlete. And so unfortunately he just had an injury. He's like, hey, I'm losing motivation. I don't know if I'm going to be able to race much the rest of the year. I'm moving. And I think I'm going to take a break. And if I decide to come back, I'll hit you up. And I was like, cool. Not a sales tactic, but if you are thinking that you're going to keep riding as a bike racer or an endurance athlete, don't just throw in the towel now. Like, recover from this injury and continue to train in the ways that you've been training. Because one of the things that I left out, he said before, is like, what you guys are doing, he's going to give us a testimonial. He's like, what you guys do, no doubt works. I've hit my best numbers ever and felt amazing, had some really good results. A lot of that is just the increased volume, as we talked about before, the executing the right amount of intensity, not doing group rides every week. But look down the road. You know, that is, sometimes people hit this roadblock and then they decide to throw in the towel and they waste 8 months that they could be training. Then they circle back in February and say, okay, I'm ready to go. It's like, dude, what have you been doing? Oh, well, kind of like some group rides, it's kind of, and they've been riding 10 hours a week. It's like, well, okay, now we're not starting over, but look at all that time that you wasted. Like, that's another way of looking at like the big picture of how this all works together. Like, continue to work on stuff that you can work on. You don't have to have motivation to ride endurance. That should be easy. You go ride with your friends and just pedal your bike. It's, I think people think that if they're not doing hard workouts, they're not training, and they just stop. And that's just not the case.
You know, you were saying how we can't always just focus on constantly progressing our workouts, and you got to look down the road. Kind of the way I like to think of it is like, you know, practicing an instrument, like you practice piano every single day for an hour, you know, even though it's not like, oh, I practiced an hour today, so I got to practice for, you know, 2 hours tomorrow. And like, if you practice every single day, you're for the same amount of time, you're still going to get better. And like, of course, you know, there needs to be that gradual progression, but you know, the more you pedal your bike, the more miles you get in your legs, you're naturally just going to become a better bike rider and more efficient. So yeah, just like take a look at the year on year picture, and like every single repetition in your legs counts towards something.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Just keep riding. That's the answer. Well, thanks for doing this one. For everyone listening, if you are listening to the podcast, please leave us a review, especially on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. On YouTube, subscribe, like the video. We greatly appreciate it. Tell the algorithms that we are a worthwhile podcast to listen to. And if you really want to go the extra mile, share with a friend. That is a great way to help us grow. Landry, any closing words?
Have fun riding your bike.
Have fun, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.